I want to teach on growing up in the Lord tonight. And I believe that that's a wonderful thing that we all ought to grow in the Lord. How many know? Growing up into Him in all things. And there's four stages in a Christian walk. I don't know if you ever searched that out in the Bible or not. Four stages. How many knows what they are? There's the babe in Christ. How many believe we have babes in Christ? Then there's the child, children, and then there's the sons of God. And you can move from one to the other by growing in the things of God. So then you have the sons of God. And then there is those that are fathers. They call them fathers in the Lord. And Paul said, and I want to read that scripture to start with, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. And I want everybody to really listen to this, just this one verse, because everybody needs someone that's a father figure to teach them the things of God. Everybody knows that. And listen what it says here. For though we have 10,000 instructors, 1 Corinthians 4:15. For though we have 10,000 instructors in Christ, we have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you to be followers of me. That's what Paul said to the people that he had won to God. He said, now, to be followers of me. How many can picture what he's talking about? How many remembers when you first got saved? How many remembers that everybody wanted to instruct you all of a sudden? They didn't mention getting you to church or pray for you or anything else till you got saved. And then everybody wanted to be an instructor. How many remembers that? Oh, I tell you, when I got saved, you know, I didn't have nobody knock on my door, try to get me saved except one couple one time. And they actually was the cause of me starting the church. But when I got saved, they didn't, a lot of people could have won me to God if they just would. But when I got saved, then everybody wanted to teach me. They wanted to teach me their doctrine. Come on over to our church. Well, we don't believe like that one over there. And you know, here I am. I don't know anything. And though I have 10,000 instructors, there's not many fathers. Now, you watch this. You people are fathers. How many knows, well, the type? What is a father? A father, Paul said he had begotten these with the word of God. In other words, he had won these people to God. So he felt like he was their spiritual father. And he said, wherefore I beseech you that you be followers of me. Of course, I'm satisfied that every minister that's won people to God hopes that they'll follow him instead of everybody else. So, but here, you see how this is. Though we have 10,000 instructors, that's a lot of them, isn't it? We have not many fathers, not many fathers. So a father is someone that cares for you. How many knows? And I've often preached on this, you know, when you're a child, we'll get it, that's a child, but we're talking about a babe in Christ or something. But how many remembers when around the house, when something bad happened outside the house and something out there that nobody knew what it was, and everybody was hunkered up in corners, kids and everything, wondering what it is going on out there. Did they say, Mom, run out there and see what's going on? No. What did they say? Father, Dad, go out there and see what's going on. So the father is one that will take the brunt for the ones that he's leading. And so let's get into this. So then there's children, the babe, and then there's the children. So I want to go first to Galatians chapter 4 and begin with verse 1. And Paul tells us here, he says, now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child. How many believes we're heirs? You got saved, you're an heir. You're an heir in Christ. And Paul says here, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Can't you just see somebody that's born into a family, a millionaire or billionaire family, and they're heir to all that, but they're just a babe or just a little child, and they can't get that until they grow up. How many knows that? So that's what he's saying. He's likening this in the scripture here. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. He's the heir to the throne. He's Lord of all, but yet he like a child, and he differeth nothing but a servant. Verse 2, he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, which is in heaven. Now he goes on and says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. So what he's saying here, that the growth of a Christian is coming out from under the bondages of this world and getting freed, in other words, set free, that we can grow up into the Lord, into sons and spiritual beings, and even to the Father figures in the things of the Lord. So it says here in verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his own Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then the heir of God through Christ. Somebody's picking up here what we're talking about. The four stages, the baby, the child, the son, and then the mature father figures. You know, we have father figures in church, you know, and in ministry. So, and when the fullness of time was come. Now, Paul's teaching it like this. He says that I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he's under what? Tutors, governors, until when? Until the time appointed of the Father. In other words, until he is mature enough to be on his own. Not only on his own, but to take care of the things that he's inherited. How many knows we've inherited a lot of things? How many knows that? This is what it says. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Verse 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Now, a person just gets saved, that doesn't mean they're overcome everything, does it? Have they just overcome overnight? They just got saved. You know, I don't expect anybody to be perfect when they first get saved. Do you? No. I expect them to make mistakes, but I expect to be able to tutor or act as a governor in their life to bring them into a strong Christian and a mature Christian. How do you get to be strong in the Lord? You listen to the word. You hear the word. You receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. You stay right in that word. It tells us here too, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So then we're adopted sons, that we might receive the adoption. Now verse 6 tells us our inheritance there that we're going to get. Listen what it says. And because you are sons, this is the gift, because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, saying, Abba, Father. Now, how did all this come about, sending forth the Spirit of his Son? I mean, Jesus died upon the cross, put in a tomb. He overcame the grave. The stone was rolled away. He ascended on high, sat down at the right hand of the Father, prayed the Father that he would send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And guess what we've got now? Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 8:14. So when you get up where you can be led by the Spirit of God, now can you see a graduation there? How many can see the graduation there? The graduation is that they were at first a baby, then a child, and they was under tutors and governors. That's why you need pastors. How many knows why you need a pastor? You need a pastor because he's a tutor and a governor. He helps you with your life. He helps you get to going straight. He or she, whichever it might be. So that's the reason that you have them. That's the reason that you have strong people in the church. The reason we should have strong people in the church, because they are strong to help the younger ones. How many grew up in a big family? I grew up as an only child. But I know of the folks that grows up in big families, guess what the oldest kids get to do when some more, like, you'll have them stair steps, you know, and the older kids have to what? Babysit with what? The babies. Now, how many gets the, that we're likening this, that they babysit with the babies. So some of you have been saved long enough, you ought to make a pretty good babysitter. When one of them squalls, take care of it. Huh? Give them a whipping. That's what they done. But we don't do that this time, in this particular thing. The babe is under tutors and governors. So the parents are the tutors and the governors of us until they're supposed to be. That's supposed to be the way a household's set up. We're supposed to raise our children up as Christians. How many knows that? Didn't any of us do it, but we were supposed to. I didn't, and you, most of you probably did. We waited till we got old and older, and then we got saved and had a family and all that. But you see, what it is that they grow up, and then they come from baby under tutors and governors. Was you a tutor and a governor? You're out. You babysit, didn't you? Was you tutored then? Bobby, tell us more about that then. See? So you had to be tutored. Guarantee your mother said, Bobby, watch that kid. You ever have her say that? She tutored. She's governor. She take care of it. She had too many other children. She couldn't take care of all of it. How many gets a picture of what a pastor has to do? You know, I can't take care of every one of them. Some of you got to grow up to the place you tutors and governors. You got some good men to work with. They're smiling. I like their looks. Praise the Lord. So tutors and governors. Amen. There's going to be babies. There's going to be people born again. And they're babes in the Lord. They don't know nothing. Nothing at all. So then what happens after that? Back to Romans 8:14. When they finally get big enough. In other words, let's just put it like this. When they're under tutors and governors, it's kind of like this. Don't play in the street. Did you hear me? Don't go out in the street. Go back in the house. Tutors and governors, they'll have one there say, I told you don't go out in the street. See, you don't play in the street, you get run over. But they don't know that. You know, we're going to have to get some mature people in the church where they can be tutors and governors. So they bring that child up to a place where he can carry his lunch bucket and he can go to school. He can get on the school bus by himself. So he's beginning to get to the place he can obey orders and things like that. But here now we got Romans 8:14. And what does it say? Then when they get to a certain place, as many as are led by the spirit of what? Not his spirit, not somebody else's spirit, but as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the what? Sons of God. So when you begin to get to a certain place in this thing, you begin to feel the Spirit leading you do this, and the Spirit leading you do that. And you've got to know whether that Spirit is the Spirit of God or not. And so you'll begin to follow that Spirit, and pretty soon you'll get to where you're led of the Spirit. And God begins to lead you. He begins to guide you. You don't need a tutor and a governor anymore. What if I was up here, been in the ministry 54 years, and I had to have a tutor? I had to have a governor. Huh? I got all kinds of people. We can't hardly take care of the people that we have to deal with that needs tutors and governors. They need spiritual leadership. They need a spiritual father. This is all in the spirit. It's a natural thing that Paul used here, but it's really meant spiritual things. Let's go back to verse 6 again. And because ye are sons, because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Because we turn out to be sons of God, then God begins to send forth the Spirit of His Son into our heart. Why? So we can begin to be led of our own from God. And then he says in verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So then, if he's a son, he's an heir of God through Christ. Wherefore thou art no more servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And let's take a look at this here. God put certain things in the church as tutors and governors and father figures, things like that. And let's look here at verse 11. Now the Lord gave this, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now I want you to notice that's a fivefold ministry. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. How many? Let's say a fivefold ministry. They're all in the ministry of Christ as being led by the Spirit, but they're put there at different times maybe, or at the same time, to do a work in a church. And he gave some apostles and prophets, evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. What for? Verse 12 tells us, for the perfecting of the saints. Well, now that's interesting. I want this to be interesting. Now, everyone that's saved is a saint. The only thing they need is perfection. Everybody knows what the word perfection means in the Bible. Mature. Mature. When you see the word perfection, they've grown up into maturity. Paul said, not as I've already attained, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. So here we find there's a fivefold ministry that God has for the church, and he'll send the church, if the ministry will listen, what you need at the hour that you need. But also the pastor and the teacher usually remains right there in the church. So, and there's certain ones can operate under any one of these. An apostle can operate as a prophet, he can operate as an evangelist, or he can operate as a pastor, or he can operate as a teacher. Mark that all down. So here he's got these five full ministries. Now, what are they for? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, and for the work of the ministry, to work the ministry in the church, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to feed the body of Christ. Now, how long are they going to be there? 13, here's the goal for the church. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a what? Perfect man. Now, here we have, we'll say we had these ministers sitting down here, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. And we have over here, we have the church here, which sons of God, children, babes, and so on and so forth. And he's put this ministry in the church for the perfecting of all of it, to bring it all up together. See, we're going to have people come in here that's babes in Christ. We're going to have some come in here that's little children in the Lord. We're going to have some come in there that's already begin to feel the leadership of the Spirit. And they're kind of, while they're learning how to be led to the Spirit, they're kind of like a 14 or 15-year-old boy or 16 that gets the keys to their dad's car. Huh? They get all kelter sometimes. How many knows that? Sometimes when I got there spiritually, how many know? I thought I was led to the Spirit. Then I found out that was me. Boy, what a slow down that is. That puts the skids on you. So that was me. So you got to go back and do what? You got to start all over again. Who you got to help you? The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, or the tutors and the governors in the church. So God's going to have to raise up some people right here in this church that's tutors and governors, because I got a feeling people's going to start getting saved around here. I have this feeling, whether I'm here or not. I got a feeling God's getting ready to do something. And they're put in the church for the perfecting to make that church grow into. Now, there's one more thing that I didn't mention here. Since you've got the baby, the child, the son, then you have, what does the one perfect mean? Let's all say it. It tells you right there. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a what? Perfect man. You know what that means? How many ever heard, and it's all through the Bible, the word, the man of God. The man of God. How many would like to grow into a man of God? Somebody said, I'm a woman, I can't. No, in the kingdom of God, there's neither male nor female. It's what's in you is what grows. We don't want our flesh to get any bigger. It's big enough. I'm trying to reduce. But we want the spirit man to get bigger. John said he must increase and I must decrease. So it's a matter of the flesh decreasing and him increasing, and then you think of the man of God. And that's what they always done in the Bible. They went and got the man of God. I preached on Sunday night, the man of God, Elisha. How many remember that? Elisha, the man of God. How did he get to be a man of God? He followed his leader, Elijah, until he seen him go up, like he said. And when the mantle fell, Elisha then become a double portion man of God. See, there's the man of God. The man of God. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. That's the man of God. I'll show you what he looks like. How many knows what he looks like? It tells you right here. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Until that man on the inside of you. How many knows there's a new man in there? The old man's passed away. We keep trying to tutor the old man. We got to tutor the new man. We got to perfect the new man. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What does that mean? That the man that's on the inside of me has to be like Christ. Shouldn't he be? Shouldn't he? Somebody say, nobody can do that. No, nobody can. Of course, we're looking to the flesh to do it. It ain't going to do it. It's got to be on the inside. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. It's Christ in you. See, we've got to get to the place that we understand that God wants us to grow in the Lord. So the worst thing a Christian can do when they get so far grown up a certain place, they get satisfied and they think they don't need to grow anymore. But we have to grow to this man in here. It's like the stature, fullness of Christ. And listen what he says. The whole danger of everything. You that's new converts, or you that's, and we may have several new converts here tonight. I don't know. I know we got one or two in our church here. Listen to this. The whole thing is that we don't get off on wrong doctrine and listen and wrong teachings and in wrong places, wrong churches. Verse 14. That we henceforth, now listen to it, be no more children. Got to get out the children part of it. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every what? I'll tell you what, you can take a little child and just a little old sucker will draw him away. He'll take right off after that sucker or a piece of candy because he's a child. Many have lost their lives that way. I mean, okay. Many Christians have lost their experience with God because they took off after the wrong doctrine. And somebody said, look here, look at this. Don't that look good? Remember what the devil showed Jesus up in Matthew chapter 4? Said, look down there to all the kingdoms of the world. Said, I'll give them to you if you'll just fall down and worship me.
Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, the word says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
He refused the temptation, that we henceforth be the more children. Verse 14, let's go back. I'm taking my time with it. No more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And listen to what it says. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What does that tell you? That there's the sleight of men and cunning craftiness in people that will lead you away with everything that's... Let's read that again. That they henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and their cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to do what? You know, deceit is the main thing the devil uses. You know, the devil tries to deceive me. Yeah. Does he try to deceive you? Sure he does. He'll use people. Somebody with a beautiful personality, someone that pretends they're a real friend, but yet inside them, Jesus said they're ravening wolves and they're lying in wait to deceive. See, we've got to get our people where they cannot be deceived. That's the strength of this thing, that you don't be deceived. And it says, they're carried away with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to see. Then he tells us what the tutors and governors and fathers and man of God will do. But speaking the truth in love, that's this word,
may grow up into him in all things. So we grow up into him in how many things? That's a lot of it, ain't it? All things. Well, what is all things? Which is the head, even Christ. That we grow up into the head, which is Christ. Verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. And then it comes on down here in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God, and is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, and it goes on and tells these things here. So we got to put off the old man, put on the new. And there's so many things that lies and waits to deceive. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 13th chapter and verse 4. Paul writes the rules to the way that we're teaching here to perfection. How many knows what perfection is? Love is the bond of what? Perfection. Love. Love. Let's look at it here. Let's start in here with about verse 4, and let's determine what love really is. Let's look at its actions tonight, and when we begin to get this going in our church and in our lives, it'll get into our homes, it'll get into the community, it'll begin to win people to God, it'll begin to strengthen the people that's in the house of God, because love begins to operate. Love produces unity. Verse 4. Charity suffers long, so love suffers a lot. It'll suffer. And is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It doesn't act like this world. The old man passed away. Doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. So our mind is in it too, so we have to think right. And we get where you can. Somebody says, I just can't do it. Oh, yes, you can. You can. How many knows you can change your mind anytime you want to? Huh? Just look at that bulb right up there. Now our mind's all on that bulb. Now let's go back to this. Right back to it. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. It doesn't have no joy in sin any longer. But rejoiceth in the truth. Now, this is growing up. I'm not going to say you're going to get there tomorrow, but you start working with these things I'm telling you here, you're going to start growing in leaps and bounds. And it takes a long time to get grown up to the place where God wants us. Some never get there. It rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, verse 7, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Verse 8, charity never faileth. That's one I want you to get. Love never. It just can't fail. Everything else might fail, but love will not. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's all built around God's love. It can't fail. If we keep the love of God in our heart, you cannot fail. Amen. It may look like you're going to fail, but you plow through everything. You become a person that's like a bulldozer. Whosoever shall say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, he shall have whatsoever he saith. How many knows it? You don't move a mountain with one swipe with the bulldozer. It takes, I'm amazed at how they can move those mountains along the highway. Bring them down. But they continuously work on it. Their vision is to see a flat place there. Not the hill anymore. Not the mountain. So, it beareth all things. Charity never faileth. It never fails. You can tell the devil that every morning. Charity don't fail. I got the love of God in my heart, and the devil, you just well get out of the way today, because it doesn't fail.
And if you don't watch it, they'll run over you. Huh? How many knows the devil needs to get run over? He needs to get stoned. What, you don't think it's in, what did you say? That the heel, our heel would be what? Ain't that putting the pressure on it? Huh? You know, do some silly things sometime, rather. Just when the devil's tormenting you, just say, look here, devil, I got my heel right on your head. Somebody said, now that's crazy. That's childlike. Well, I don't know whether it's childlike or not. I know it works because I've tried lots of times. I've walked around with my heel right on his head. He don't like that. Submit yourself, James said, to God and resist the devil, and he's going to what? He's going to flee from you. He's not going to hang around where somebody's living for God. He's not going to hang around where somebody's empowered with God. He's not going to hang around where somebody's got joy. He's a joy killer. He don't like joy. He wants everybody to be mad at each other. He wants everybody to be hurt about everything. He wants everybody to be disturbed about everything. He wants everybody to be discouraged. But I'm going to tell you what, when he gets that way, I get encouraged. David didn't have nobody to encourage him one time, so he just encouraged himself. How many knows you can do that? You can encourage yourself in the Lord. Worship God. Encourage yourself. This is Paul's letter here, the final letter to 1 Corinthians about perfecting, getting things like it ought to be. Said, and then he comes down here and he's talking about the child and his part. Charity never faileth, verse 8. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. So we know in part, we prophesy in part. But wait a minute here. But when that which is perfect is come, how many knows who that is? That's perfect. Ain't that Jesus Christ? Ain't he the perfect Son of God? Somebody said, yeah, but that's him. Well, now, wait a minute here. Ain't he in you? Ain't he in me? Ain't he in you? You. So we have no excuse. He's in there. We got to sometimes wake him up. You know, they was going across the sea there, and all the disciples was in this boat, you know. Jesus was absolutely in the boat with them, but he was laying there asleep, and the storm going on. They woke him up. You read it. They woke him up. Sometimes you have to wake him up. He gets a little bit of rest sometimes while you're struggling. So they woke him up. What did he do? He stood up in the midst of the boat. What did he say? Peace, be still. And the wind just quit blowing, the water just settled down. And they said, what manner of man is this? I can imagine what they said. And we're right here in the boat with him. What manner of man is this that even the sea obeys his voice? That the winds hears and obeys his voice? What manner of man is it? You know, he's the one that's perfect. Well, if he's only perfect on the inside of you, and you keep him there, he'll perfect your experience with God, with the Father. That's what I'm getting at. He will perfect. It's not you doing it. He will perfect your spirit. Huh? Now, here's where we go. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is part is done away. Now, here's what he said, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. What's he saying here? When I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. I was preaching on this one time, and there was a great big old guy sitting there, and I said, I forget how I brought it in, but I said, now, you know, you take a little red truck, and you put it out here in the floor and turn two little boys, 3 years old, out there. What are they going to do? They're both going to latch on to that little red truck. That's mine, ain't it? But can you imagine me and Brother Spindler getting down here in the floor and wrestling over a little red truck? Huh? You'd what you can. But I mean, that's an illustration. We're grown up. Now, you go back. Years ago, when we were 3 or 4 years old, we'd been on the little red truck deal. And did you know a lot of folks in the church, they want everything for nothing. And everything they see that glitters, it's theirs. Somebody gets blessed being a youth leader, everybody wants to be a youth leader. I'm not here because we don't have no youth, but we're going to have. We are going to have. You can count on that. I've been saying I don't like to see a church without youth.
from that size right on up, they need to grow up in the house of God.